Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house this morning as we gather here on this Sunday of the season we call Christmastide, which this year we only have one Sunday of Christmastide because Epiphany will actually be this coming Saturday, the 5th of January. We would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad and pass it on to your neighbor, if you will, please. And in your bulletin, please note the announcement flyer that talks about the food pantry drive. For all your contributions to that, we're grateful, as well as your contributions to the warmth tree collection that, again, that tree is currently out in the foyer. And we're so grateful for all of your contributions to people in need. We also still have that announcement in the flyer about the folks who are serving in our military services overseas, and if you know of someone and would like to pass along their name and information to Ardith, Ardith's telephone number is in that announcement there in your bulletin. If you just text the information to Ardith, that would be a benefit as we hope to keep in touch with our folks in military service. Also, the 2024 giving envelopes, if you've not picked yours up, please do so. They are there on that oak table in the foyer. If you'd please pick them up, that helps us to not have to mail them to you, which I know Carol would certainly like to get that taken care of this week as we're now entering the first of the new year. Also, if you're wanting a new church directory, they are available in the church office. The cost is $10, which simply just takes care of the printing cost. Also, you can see we still have our poinsettias here out front in the chancel area. If you had made an order for those, please pick it up here at the end of the service because we'll be cleaning up everything here and putting up all of our Advent decorations. We certainly could use as many people to stay and help us, as we certainly know that many hands make light work, as we do need to kind of pack up all of our Advent decorations, the trees and everything throughout the building and get everything back up into the balcony and ready for next year. So your assistance, and we hope that of some other folks, will help us get this taken care of quickly right after this service. I can see we're kind of missing a number of folks. I don't know if we just got a number of people traveling, or everybody just thinks they got to get ready for something about a football game this afternoon. It's not until 3, the 3 o'clock hour, so I mean, we got time. But we're grateful you're here. And we call upon Ryan to lead us in our call to worship. Ryan, thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's home is with humanity. He will live with them, and they shall be his people.
God himself will be with them, and he will be their God.
He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more grief or crying or pain.
The old things have disappeared.
Then the one who sits on the throne said, "And now I make all things new." We'll now sing hymn number 129, all stanzas of "Lift Up Your Heads, O Mighty Gates."
Lift up your heads, O mighty gates, behold the glorious ruler waits. The sovereign one is drawing near, the Savior of the world is here. Fling wide the portals of your heart, make it a temple set apart from earthly use for heaven's employ, adorned with prayer and love and joy. us your inner presence feel, your grace and love in us reveal. So come our sovereign, enter in, let new
May we pray. Merciful God, on this eve of New Year's Day, how blessed are we to begin a new year of 2024 with the reassurance of your Spirit's loving presence and guidance. With every day that we are blessed, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts offer glory to your holy name. For as Psalm 150 verse 6 tells us, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. In the name of Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen.
Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. We're not only shy on folks this morning, looks like we're shy on our children too. Everybody must be either gone or sleeping in or something, right? But anyway, we're delighted you all are here this morning. And as we go to God in prayer, we do want to express a word of congratulations to Larry Pitts, who was at the early service this morning. He celebrates the birth of his grandson, Carter Ray Pitts, who was born in the nick of time on Christmas Day, 10:03 p.m. Christmas Day, and born to Larry's son, Brent, and daughter-in-law, Brittany, and also Carter has an older brother, Mason, who is 3 years of age. So many congratulations to their family. We do celebrate the fact that Don Stone is making very good progress. He had this surgery on Wednesday morning at North Kansas City Hospital, aortic heart valve replacement as well as 3 bypass. And when I was visiting with him yesterday, as he was sitting up in his chair in the room, sitting there with his daughter, and Don says, "Well, you know what? I kind of think my pain level is about a 2 or a 3. I'd say that's pretty good. We are very encouraged. He may end up being in like a rehabilitation kind of time frame for about a week or so there at the hospital. That's not quite yet been determined, but hoping that works out in a good way that'll give Diana some rest at home too. We want to lift up Jill McCombie. She had an epidural procedure this past week to deal with back concerns at L4, L5 in her lower back. Keep her in your prayers. Also, we're so grateful for everyone's assistance with the service for Lauren Kirby this past Friday here at the church. And Shelly and Steve, it's a joy to have you here with us this morning. Bless you both. Bless you. We're lifting up Bob Maddox in our prayers. Bob, you and Betty, we're keeping you in prayer as we know that the 16th of Tuesday the 16th, is the day set aside for you to be at the St. Luke's down on the plaza for, again, bypass as well as heart valve replacement surgery. So we'll keep you in prayer. And Ruth Ann Solomon is looking to have knee surgery on the 8th of January, so a week from tomorrow. And also, we keep in prayer Alan and Carolyn Pipps, as Alan is having atrial fibrillation concerns with his heart. We also lift up Brady Holmes. We also remember Edna Williams, Joan Eismont, Tom Bosworth, Jerry and Betty Donahue. We want to lift up also among friends Doris McGeehee's daughter-in-law, Cindy and John Smith. Cindy was in the hospital for almost a 2-week period of time. Low blood pressure and a low sodium count, which was giving herself a lot of complications. She is currently in the St. Luke South Hospital rehabilitation. Keep Cindy and John in your prayers. And also, Perla Moore has asked us to remember her neighbor, Mary McCollin, who has brain cancer, as well as a neighbor, Joanna Hick, who's dealing with the flu. Right, Perla? So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer our thanksgiving and praise as we assemble in your house of worship this Sunday in this season we call Christmastide. As we can imagine ourselves being present with others as we gaze upon the Christ child lying in the manger, we are in awe at the truth that you chose to dwell in this earthly world as one of us. As we are 6 days into the time called Christmastide, called by many the 12 days of Christmas, we are reminded of the song in which gifts were given. We remember the partridge in the pear tree, the 5 golden rings, the leaping lords, etc. But all of these material gifts pale in comparison to the great gift of your Son's presence with us and his sacrifice for the forgiveness of the sinfulness that has separated us from you. As we prepare to bring in a new year of 2024, we pray, O God, that our renewed devotion to your purposes may be an honorable response of genuine appreciation for your great love expressed to us. For Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in our troubles so that we are able to help others who have all kinds of troubles using the same help that we ourselves have received from you. In prayerful and devoted gratitude, we seek your Spirit's guidance as we welcome in the new year, and as we also recite the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
There's a star in the east on Christmas morn. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. It will lead to the place where the Savior's born. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow, follow. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow the star of Bethlehem. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. If you take good heed to the angel's word, rise up, shepherd, and follow. You'll forget your flock, you'll forget your herd. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow, rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow the star of Bethlehem. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Leave your flocks and leave your lambs. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Your sheep and leave your rams. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow, follow. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow the star of Bethlehem. Rise up, shepherd, and rise up, shepherd, and rise up, shepherd, and follow.
When we share in the Lord's Supper each Sunday, have you ever wondered why we call this the communion service? Use of the word communion is derived from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. In the King James Version, the text states, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" As early as the time of Augustine in the mid-300s AD, the word communion was derived from the word com, which means with or together, and the word unis, which simply means oneness. Thus, the word communion meant to come together as one, as the word is carried through its use in the King James Version in the 1600s. In several modern versions of the Bible, the word communion is translated as participation. And as we share in the Lord's Supper or communion and partake in the bread and drink the juice from our communion cups, we do so collectively in full participation with one another, with our Lord Jesus. For even as Jesus gathered his disciples together and transformed the Passover event into the Lord's Supper, then, as even now, Christ is calling us together into the oneness of the Christian faith. This is what we celebrate as we turn to our communion hymn, Away in the Manger. We'll sing all stanzas, please, of hymn number 147. As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we gather at your table once again this morning to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but also as we take the bread and the cup to celebrate his death and resurrection, for through that is our salvation. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give to others and God will give to you. Indeed, you'll receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure that you use for others is the one that God will use for you. As Gail leads us in a word of prayer, we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, as we stand at the threshold of a new year, we are so thankful for everything that you have blessed us with this past year. And we know through your faithfulness, you will bless us once again. May these gifts and tithes that we bring today be a blessing to those who receive them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Lord God, we pray that these gifts are used for your glory and purposes now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I have a couple of texts to share with you this morning. First of all, from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 35, verses 16 through 21. Jacob and his family left Bethel, and when they were still some distance from Ephrath, the time came for Rachel to have her baby, and she was having difficult labor. And when her labor pains were at their worst, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, Rachel, it's another boy." But she was dying, and as she breathed her last, she named her son Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. But his father Jacob named him Benjamin, which means son of the right hand. When Rachel died, she was buried beside the road to Ephrath, now known as Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a memorial stone there, and it still marks Rachel's grave to this day. Jacob moved on and set up his camp on the other side of the Tower of Eder. Again, we know this to be Migdal Eder, the Tower of the Flock, which is, of course, as we've learned, is just outside of Bethlehem. Then our text from the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Christ, however, offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever. And then he sat down at the right side of God, and there he now waits until God puts his enemies as a footstool under his feet. One of those texts worth memorizing. May we pray. Holy God, we are in awe of your great love for us, love so great that your plan for our salvation spans generations of human history as testified to in your word. And as scripture has revealed the fulfillment of Christ as the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sins, we know that this was in the shadow of Migdal Eder, ever since the time of the patriarchal fathers. For love that endures the generations, we give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. Throughout this series of messages, which I have titled A Sign for Us, that we began during the Advent season and now continue through this season we call Christmastide, our focus has been on the angel's proclamation of to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. It's that text of Luke chapter 2, verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. On the first Sunday of this series, in which I was finally back with you all after my medical leave, on the 17th of December, we discovered that the Christ child was likely found by the shepherds just outside of Bethlehem at Migdal Eder. Again, we remember from the Hebrew, this simply means the watchtower of the flock. We learned that even the lowly shepherds would have known the prophecies of Micah that foretold the Messiah's birth, for they would have been taught by their local rabbi how to read and write by the use and memorization of their Hebrew sacred text. These Bethlehem shepherds knew from Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. These shepherds also knew from Micah chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, that it was most likely that Migdal Eder, the watchtower of the flock, would be the birthplace of the newborn Savior. For if the Messiah was to be the Lamb of God, surely he would be born among the sacrificial lambs, born at this watchtower just outside of Bethlehem. In the second message of this series, during the 6 p.m. service on Christmas Eve last Sunday, we focused our attention more on the sign that the Messiah was to be identified by being wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, just as the angel had foretold. The shepherds knew without question that the newborn lambs were born in the safety of the cave-like stable that was underneath the watchtower of the flock. These newborn lambs were inspected by a priest at the time of their birth, and if they were indeed unblemished, they were wrapped in swaddling bands to protect them from injury, because that injury would disqualify them from being the perfect sacrifices unto the Lord at the Jerusalem temple. They were then laid in a manger until they calmed down before they were returned to the mother ewe. The shepherds knew that if the Messiah was to be the Lamb of God, surely he would be born among the sacrificial lambs. The word used for manger in our text from Luke is the Latin word mundicare. The word simply means to eat. And here on this night of nights in which Mary and Joseph, the shepherds from the Bethlehem fields and likely others were gathered around this particular manger, they were all gazing upon the one who would one day feed the souls of all humanity. For Jesus would say of himself in John chapter 6, verse 35, that he is indeed the bread of life as he offers salvation to all who would repent and accept him. And we remember that even the name Bethlehem means house of bread. Here on this third Sunday, in this A Sign for Us series, we certainly realize through prophecy that God has revealed his salvation plan for humanity throughout centuries and generations of human history. We remember the text I shared with you earlier, from Amos chapter 3, verse 7, The text says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." In other words, through the centuries, God has always been very deliberate and methodical in his efforts to tell us his plan for humanity. It's just that we simply need to know the text to understand. We discover as we go further into Scripture that the watchtower of the flock outside of Bethlehem has further prophetic implications for God's plan for humanity's salvation that reaches as far back as the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Not only were the prophetic words of the prophet Micah as far back as 700 years before the birth of the Christ child a sign of the significant foretelling of the Savior's birth, but also the prophetic connection between the birth of Benjamin and the birth of Jesus, which spans more than 1,900 years, gives further depth of meaning to God's salvation plan. The first verse of Genesis 35 tells us that God renames Jacob, giving him the name Israel, which means God prevails. Jacob, or Israel, builds an altar and calls this place that in which he is renamed Bethel, which simply means house of God. The portion of our text from Genesis 35 that I read to you this morning tells us that Jacob, or Israel, took his family, he left Bethel, and traveled toward Ephrath, which simply means fruitful. This was the name that at the time was given to the community that centuries later would be known as Bethlehem. Jacob and Rachel and their clansmen who journeyed with them were likely traveling the high road. Remember, we talked about the high road that eventually became known as the King's Highway. Remember that from the first sermon? Along the way, as they were still a distance from Ephrath, Genesis 35, verse 16 tells us that the time came for Rachel to have her baby, and she was having difficult labor. And when her labor pains were at their worst, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, Rachel, it's another boy." In other words, there was hope in the birth of a son because the name would go to another generation, remember? But she was dying, the text tells us. And as she breathed her last, she named her son Benaniah, which means son of my sorrow. Yet as the text continues, what we learn is that after Rachel's death, Jacob changes the name of his newborn son from Benani, son of my sorrow, to Benjamin, which means son of the right hand. Jacob was insistent that this transformation take place. His son's arrival into the clan of God's people was not to be an expression of sorrow and despair, but instead, as Jacob embraces his newborn son with great love, Benjamin was to be born out of the house of God, or Israel, and this youngest son, born of himself and his beloved Rachel, will stand in the most honored place at his father's right hand, or side, which is why he is now to be named Benjamin. Through the naming of the one named Benaniah to the new name Benjamin, the tragedy and despair of Rachel's death is transformed from into an imagery of hope, an embrace of great love and renewal. And what is also significant for us is to note that about 2,000 years before the time of Jesus, this transformation from tragedy to hope happens literally in the shadow of where? The watchtower of the flock outside of Bethlehem. As the text of Genesis 35, verses 19 through 21 state, when Rachel died, she was buried beside the road to Ephrath, now known as Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a memorial stone there, and it still marks Rachel's grave to this day. And Jacob moved on and set up his camp on the other side of the Tower of Eder. Again, Migdal Eder. the watchtower of the sheep. And as we have learned from our previous messages, Migdal Eder was then and will later continue to be a significant place of connection. But as we look further into Scripture, what we discover is that God creates a new parallel from what we learn here in Genesis 35 that carries forward all the way to the birth of Jesus. Just as Rachel carried her baby from Bethel, the house of God, we see that Luke's gospel tells us that Mary carries the baby Jesus, who is also certainly from the house of God in heaven. For as Jesus even later says of himself in John chapter 6, verse 38, that Jesus had come down from heaven, not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. Another portion of this parallel is just as Rachel's heart is indeed filled with sorrow, realizing that she is going to die in childbirth, thus compelling her to name her newborn son, Benoni, son of my sorrow, we also see that Mary herself also experiences great sorrow with the birth of her own son, Jesus. For Simeon foretells of Mary's immense sorrow as he declares when Mary and Joseph are at the temple in Jerusalem for Jesus' dedication. Simeon says to Mary in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, that sorrow like a sharp sword will break your own heart. But God's great prophetic parallel between the story of Benjamin and Jesus is simply this. Just as Jacob transformed sorrow into hopeful joy, so also does God transform sorrow into immense hopeful joy. God embraces his son by also bringing the one born into sorrow into a victory over sin and even death itself for humanity. As Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 tell us, Christ offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever, and then he did what? He sat down at the right side of God. And there he now waits until God puts his enemies as a footstool under his feet. The great and powerful prophetic message that endures for 2,000 years is that God transforms the sorrow of mothers' hearts for both Rachel and Mary into immense joy-filled happiness and victory. And what you and I need to understand from these prophetic scriptures is that God also conveys this same special message of hopeful joy and victory for you and me even today. Because no matter how we may have been a son or daughter of sorrowful sinfulness, God says no to the sin and the sorrow. God says to us, your sorrow, like that of Benjamin and Jesus, shall be transformed. As Jacob embraced Benjamin and God and Mary embraces Jesus, God today embraces you and me and brings us to his right side in Jesus the Christ. All of this, you see, is fulfillment of prophecy that from the time of Jacob to Jesus was a message that was nearly 2,000 years in the making. And it is a message of hopeful salvation that continues from the time of Christ's presence here on earth to our time period, another 2,000 years. And Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 15, of him, that we are called his friends. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, Paul tells us that we are children of God. So you see, the sorrowness of sin is wiped away, and God just scoops us up and brings him to the honorable place of his right side in Christ. Do you believe it? I hope you do. I hope you've learned something. And so whenever you hear the word Migdal Eder, you know what it is, don't you? Praise God. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day. I know you can come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn number 144, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, number 144. May we stand.
Little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our God Emmanuel.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, this New Year's Eve. Again, a reminder, we do want to encourage those of you who can to please stay. We could certainly use some help to get the decorations all kind of packed up so we'll be ready for next year. Not too far of a distance. All we got to do is get everything over to the balcony, which is just right behind you. But we wish you all the very best as we all usher in the new year of 2024. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart your house, may we indeed experience the fullness of your Spirit's presence, recognizing the great truth of prophecy of Scripture that reveals your salvation plan for humanity in a most wondrous way. Guide us as we journey forward with the beginning of a new year. It's in Christ's name we pray as we depart. Amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.